If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
R&B money. We up. Tank. Jay Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this,
yeah,
is,
what is
the R&B Money Podcast.
Come on.
The
Come
authority
on.
On all things
Come on.
R&B.
Yeah.
It just got legendary.
What? I wore this Beatles shirt for a reason.
It just got his
story. You know
why? Tell me why.
Because the man we have here tonight, he beat the Beatles at
Knocked
something.
Off the Beatles.
So that's why I wore this shirt, because I knew my partner was coming.
Knocked off the Beatles.
Yeah.
We know this, nigga.
Well.
His family
well.
With this.
Well.
Grew up with this, nigga.
Yeah.
One of the coldest, one of the greatest of all times.
Yeah.
Saying your full name, Brian Michael Cox. Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yo, so we've
motherfucker.
Been, we've been talking about this for a minute. I'm so glad, man, that we are in the building.
We're here.
My brothers.
We cannot be the authority unless you come here.
Tank, man, I appreciate you. Jay, come my on, peoples, man. We go... Y'all about to see how far back we go for real, for real. This
shit.
Is this is real family talk. This is real fam talk right here.
Listen, back, you know, back in them noontime buildings. It was 957.
957 West Marietta, baby.
On the railroad tracks.
On the railroad tracks.
Yes.
When we
the
was all
right behind the building.
We was just trying. Hold on, let the train pass and we get the next vocal.
No, for real.
Let the train pass and we'll get the next vocal. When we was all just trying.
Dog, just coming up. Kids trying to come up, man. All of us. It was me, you.
Donnie Scans,
the twins, Brandon, Eric Roberson, Jonte. It was just it was a house full. Jazzy Faye, Teddy Bishop. J-Dub, Dent.
We were just trying.
Man. We was just throwing the shit at the wall, man. Yeah. Hoping something would stick, bro.
Every
fucking day.
I mean, it worked. Everybody you just named.
Yeah.
Is legendary in this.
Yeah.
And you didn't even go to the executive side.
Yeah, exactly. I was just talking about just musicians.
With
Noonie,
TR.
Yeah. Chris Hicks and all that. We didn't even get into.
Still doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody, though. Yeah. Which is crazy.
Everybody.
That's crazy.
TR's killing it. Everybody's killing it.
All being together.
Everybody.
If we could have seen the future.
Man.
Like.
I'm going to keep it real. I tell Chris, too. If we had presence of mind on what was happening, we would have stuck together.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Y'all were monstrous.
Yeah, we would have stuck together. Like, yeah. I mean, we stuck together in facets, like Jazzy and Noonie did their thing, Chris and Jonte, and people kind of separated and did their own thing. But I think that if we had known for real, what was on the other side of all of this, you know what I'm saying?
No, because part of y'all blueprint, too, is the fabric and the idea of the underdogs.
Yeah.
For us.
It was before. Like,
way before the underdogs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And where they got the concept from, obviously, was Puff and Hitman. That's really where they got the concept from.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
With Noontime,
When Noontime got the concept, you know, they had J-Dub and Dent, and J-Dub and Dent were co-managed by Puff, you know, this late 90s.
Yeah.
And they basically went up there and saw how Puff was running his shit and was like, oh, we're going to kind of duplicate that.
Yeah.
And then they got Teddy and they got Jazzy. K-Fam and, you know, Chris's brother, Kevin Hicks, who played guitar on all the records.
All the records, yeah.
And
then
I came in the mix in the middle of all that. You know, Jonte was a part of it, working with Teddy Bishop. The twins were working with Dub. It was just an interesting.
Everybody.
The 112 was coming down there at the time. Yeah. I mean, Duran was working down there. It was just a really interesting time in the late 90s with that company. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all were really an artist away.
One artist away.
Your own artist.
And what's crazy is, right, all executives, when we say executives, okay, we talked about the partners, but we talk about the, you know, God bless, Shakir Stewart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about Jaha Johnson. Mm-hmm. We talk about Jarrell Allen. We talk about people who were, you know, instrumental in that situation. Ryan Glover, who was a partner, who now owns Greenwood Bank, who's popping. You know what I mean? It's just
out of control. Yeah.
I wish that we had the presence of mind at that time. But of course, you never know what's on the other side. You just kind of just go.
But what a starting ground.
What a fucking starting ground, bro. You know, you got people like, you know, Block was coming down.
Block.
freaking T.I. was coming. Yeah. And, you know, it was just an interesting.
Because y'all also did many genres of music.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That was the other thing. Like with us with the underdogs, it was very much R&B and pop.
Yeah.
And that's really what it was.
We saw everybody from Rick Ross, like, Trick Daddy.
Tank and
Aaliyah and
everything.
Genuine. It was just an ill combination of people.
Jim Crow.
And then, you know what I mean? It was just an ill, you know, Jim Crow is where we get Polo to Don.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, like, y'all was a one-stop shop.
It was just an ill combination do you remember when, what's my man from Hootie and the Blowfish was down there?
Darius Rucker
was there.
Yeah.
Darius Rucker came. You was there.
He pulled up on us too, early underdog days.
When
it was just me, Damon, and Harvey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Darius Rucker.
He was looking for that R&B.
Yeah, he was doing like an R&B Stevie type thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy because Hump. Hump.
Wow, where's he at?
Hump, yo, Hump's doing like TV film shit. Like
no,
he's like he's
that.
he's killing it. Yeah,
okay, dope, Hump's doing it.
So Hump, I remember Darius Rucker had a deal with Budweiser.
Oh, I heard about that.
And the fucking Budweiser 18 wheeler pulled up at Noontime, and niggas was drinking beer for like 5 months, bro. It was crazy.
Five months.
It was the craziest shit I've ever.
I was expecting 5 days.
You know, when you got that deal, the truck pulled up. The 18 wheeler pulled up, and he was like, "Yeah, man, just drop it off." I was like, "What the fuck is happening?" Like, I never seen
beer get old. I don't drink beer.
No, niggas was drinking. I don't know.
It's in the can.
It's in the can. 5 months.
Yeah, it's in the can.
Niggas was drinking
anything in the can. Don't get old.
Anything in the can. I think it's got a long shelf life.
Shit.
Not like my plastic bottles of Sprite.
Yeah,
thanks, Sprite. Thanks.
Thanks.
2 years supply of Sprite expired in 6 months. Thanks. Maybe less. Appreciate that.
I'm trying to give it away.
Beacox, man, you're shit. You're one of the greatest.
Man, I appreciate you guys, man.
And you know, we gotta turn back the hands of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And
really get
establish
to it.
How you got here. Man. Like, when does Beacox happen? When does somebody say, you know, this kid is special? Or when do you say to yourself, I've found my purpose? Like, talk
take
to
us back to H-Town.
We have Houston, man. Yeah. You know,
take us back.
Ultimately, I've always wanted to be a producer. I never understood what it really meant, but I knew that whatever Quincy Jones did was important. Whatever Teddy Riley did was important. Whatever Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis did was important. Whatever Elaine Bayface did was important. Mm-hmm. And these were the names I was seeing on the back of my favorite albums and favorite. You know, we talk about credits all the time. I'm a credit reader. I'm a, mm-hmm. you know, people call me a music encyclopedia. You know, I know things that I shouldn't know, right?
Yeah, right.
And it's because I studied these records. My mother was an avid record buyer. My aunts were.
Your aunt. That I met at the brunch.
Yes,
your
brunch, my mom, yes, mom.
Are amazing.
Yeah.
yeah. And I want to say hello. Because I was at the table with her.
You was there, that's right. You sat there with my mom, that's right.
Amazing women.
So my mom was super, just into music, heavy. My mom loved music, and I get my love of music from her and my aunts and my uncles, you know what I mean? And they would buy records. I'm saying, like, specific. Every one of my aunts had different styles, like different things that they liked, right? So when you're young, right, and you growing up in a big family and you spend time with all your different family members, you get to get all this experience from different things, right? So like Manny Jack, who passed away a few years ago, her particular style of music was very eclectic. Like, she would listen to things like Journey, Asia, Hall & Oates, but then Charlamagne was one of her favorite groups. Hmm. Earth, Wind & Fire was one of her favorite groups. I mean, you know, so she might have been the most eclectic record collector. You know, like, my first time ever hearing Donald Fagen's Nightlife record was because she had it. Mm. And I didn't even know who Donald Fagen was. And I had to find out that he was a member of Steely Dan, and she had Steely Dan records. And she was the one telling me all these different things.
You're talking a lot of talk, right?
Yeah,
man.
Like, the whole other thing,
real
right?
Music talk.
Yeah.
She was the one that told me all these different things, right? My mom was just really into, like, super, like, you know, early on, like, you know, funk, boogie, you know what I mean? So... that translates from, you know, you get Parliament Funkadelic to when it translates to boogie, that goes to Kashif and goes to what Leon Silvers was doing and things of that nature. And my mother also was really into fusion. So, like, Herbie Hancock funk, that she wasn't really into Herbie's, like, super jazz shit, but it was like when it got to Chameleon and when it got to records like Headhunters and Feet Don't Fail Me Now and things like that. My mom was really into that shit. You know what I'm saying? And that was what really, really, like, I was to my mom's. I was with her a lot. So a lot of that music shaped, like, my mom loved D-Train and loved things like that in the early 80s. Like, I feel like my mom's, the most dense era of music for my mom was like 1979 to like 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have... I was exposed to a lot of music during those years. And I was very young. I was like, between the ages of 79, I might have been 1, going on 2. So from 2 to like 6, there was a lot of music that was being, a lot of information that was being.
Right.
Just absorbed.
Just
in
just your mind.
Yeah, just because.
And when did you start playing?
I started playing when I was 6.
Mm-hmm.
So
by this time, you're already hearing it, though.
Yeah, so I've heard it. But then I went to go live with my grandparents. Right, my grandparents are from Bahamas and Miami. I went back to Miami. I was born in Miami, but my mom moved to Houston in 79.
Okay,
so I was born in Miami in 77. My mom moved to Houston in 79. Then I moved back to Miami to live with my grandparents when I was 5 or 6. Right, and my grandparents are, you know, my grandfather's a Pentecostal minister. So then, I have all this.
There it goes.
I have all this information.
Yeah.
Right. Then now I go to church.
All
the secular information was already there. Right. And now I got to go back and I got to go to church because my grandfather's not having it.
Not having it.
You know what I'm saying? We're not listening to nothing. You know, it's really.
It's a culture shock.
Yeah, a culture shock. It's Mahalia Jackson. It's, you know, I'm talking about old James Cleveland. I'm talking about James old Cleveland, time. Say, yeah.
But now you're
gospel,
getting, but now you're, right? getting, but now you're getting the root.
Yeah. 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 And I'm not knowing at the time.
Of
I'm
all just, the things that we do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. But like my grandfather, he went in with the new. My grandfather went rocking with like
the John P. Keys and all. Yeah. None of that.
My grandfather's from Ackland Island, Bahamas, man. Like that, you know, he
tradition.
Went, yeah. You know, so, okay. And my grandmother's the same, right? So, now I'm in church and you got to do something, right? So let me tell you what's interesting, right? There's a guy, y'all may know him. He's an amazing musician. He's put out a couple records now, but he used to play with the Roots. His name is Raymond Angry, right? Ray Angry.
Mm. Okay. So Raymond Angry is one of my guys.
Okay. So let me explain something to you about Ray.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Ray and I grew up in the same church, in the same church atmosphere. Church got a prophecy, right? His father was well respected and was like a person who took me in as like a nephew and this, that, and the third. And Ray was way older than us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Ray might have been, if I was like 6 or 7, Ray might have been 15 or 14, mm-hmm. something like that, right? And Ray, y'all call him Ray, but me and Kendrick, who my cousin Kendrick Dean, mm-hmm. we call him Sebastian. That's his name.
Wow.
Because he's Ray Angry Jr. So at church, because dad's Big Ray, we called him Sebastian. So I know him as Sebastian. Mm-hmm. And Ray Angry is the first person that I ever saw that made me want to play piano. Like, for real. Like, he was that, like, like that, he was...
Listen. That's nuts.
No, for real. He was one of those people. He was like an anomaly. Like
he was a superstar like, keyboard player.
At 14,
player.
Though.
At 14.
Yeah.
Oregon, ridiculous. Like he was like, he was the best already.
Oh, he's cold.
He was the best.
You know what I'm saying?
He was cold.
He was the best already.
He's right? The first person I've seen move his hips while playing keyboard, two keyboards at the same time. At Rankin Chapel at Howard University. Mm. And he was smashing.
Yeah. Ray Angry was
all the keyboards like this.
Yeah.
He's dancing.
No.
He's dancing. Oh, that's forbidden. You can't.
Not the way he was dancing.
No, Ray was different.
Oh, he's
different. Okay. And we were kids. Me and Kendrick were little and was just always in awe of him. And he would always let us sit by him. You know, he would.
He was rocking with y'all. Y'all was his,
just,
y'all was his guy.
Sit by him. And we just, you know what I mean? Sit behind him and watch him. You know what I mean? And that I always, and it's crazy because I hadn't thought about this in a long time. To me, my mother was talking about this recently and I hadn't thought about it in a while. My mom was like, Sebastian, like that's where it started for you. And I remember my grandmother put me in piano lessons because of him.
I did not know we had that in common.
Yep. Yep. I've known him since I was
a
little.
I learned a gang of stuff from Raymond.
I've known him since I was a little guy.
I was in high school. He was at Howard University killing everything. Mm-hmm. He was Shy, all them was up there. Like
that's the era. Dave, that was the era. Yeah, that was the era. Yeah.
Everybody was up there, and we was kids from high school. We were the singing kids from high school that would come up to Howard University and sing at all the church functions and all that. We was like the best group. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And we was that's high school kids, crazy. And Raymond Angry was like one of our heroes. Every time he got on the keyboards. It was him and then another guy named Marlon Saunders who would get on
Marlon
the drums.
Saunders,
what's our other guy? Gordon.
Mm. Oh, Gordon Chambers?
Gordon Chambers.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
Gordon
of
Chambers course. Was like Jesus to
of
us.
Of course, hey, of
Gordon.
Course.
Him and Raymond Angry. It was like this.
Yeah, yeah.
When they get on the instruments,
it's a rap.
I sign on to the message,
Yes, man.
It was like gods to us. We just watched them in awe and just, well, how did you,
what did you do?
Right? Like, why are your fingers just,
No, Raymond was, he was one of those people that we couldn't wait to be around Sebastian. It was like,
that's
you know,
crazy.
And because we spent so much time over the house, you know, like they said,
family.
You know, Big Ray really brought us in. And, but he, like, we spent a lot of time because Kendrick's grandfather, his grandfather and my grandfather, his grandfather was the pastor of the church. Mm-hmm. His grandfather was the pastor, and my grandfather was one of the associate pastors and like, you know, being a bishop and basically was like really involved. They were like best friends and, you know, just really, really an ill connection. And of course, Ray's dad was like literally so involved with the church and they involved all the kids in the church. So these are things that, you know, when I was in Miami living with my grandparents, there was a major shift in my life, right? Yeah. And then my mother comes and gets me, and I go back to Houston, but I would go to Miami every summer. Mm. So you go to Miami, you know, vacation Bible school, you go yeah. to, you know what I mean? You did all, yeah. like literally, oh, so yeah. I was getting a proper, like, balance, right? Because I would come back, I would go to Houston, I would come back to Houston with my mom and my aunts, and, you know, they was outside. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know, my mom and my aunties was
and
outside.
You were going to school in Houston.
I was going. I went to elementary school for 2 years in Miami, but then for the rest of my time, it was in Houston. So when I would come back, when I would go to Houston for school, my mom and them was outside, bro. Thursday nights at the club. I mean, they was outside, and, my mom every week would go to the record store. It's a record store in Houston called Sound Waves. She'd go to the record store every week, get new records. They would get, you know, all the new shit. So she was up on a new shit. My aunt's all up on a new shit. And I was the person that was like in the middle of it all. Like, that was my interest. Like, none of my cousins were interested in it. That was my interest. Like, what new records you getting this week? You know what I mean? Yeah. And then.
And how old are you at this point?
So I would say, I mean, it's happening at a very young age. I remember specifically, this is crazy. I remember specifically, I have a really wild memory, and I have to be. At this point, I might have been six, right? And my mother came home with a stack of records, yo. I'll never forget it. It was Kashif's first album, Prince 1999, freaking Spiral Gyra, Yellow Jacket's second album. It was like a bunch of just different styles of records, right? And this got to be like 83, 84. And my mom was just, we were just going through the records. And that was like, it's like Gap Band 5, jamming the record with Party Train. And you know, and then listening to these records, I was always entranced with how these records were made. And there's a record on Gap Band 5 specifically called I'm Ready. That's like, this record to this day is like one of the most amazing records to me. It's like, I don't know if you guys even know this record, but it's like a super album cut, but it's a smash.
I don't know the record.
It's like a record that really should have been a single.
Yeah.
Right, it's like
yeah.
to this day, like
it's one of those. I would probably
it's like one of records. Like you have to hear, you're gonna be like, why wasn't this song a single? Yeah. Like it was one of them kind of things. And for me, I always pride of myself at finding those, like listening to whole albums and finding records that was kind of like that nobody listened to that I liked. You know what I mean? And that, and I would attach myself to. You know what I mean? And like, I want to learn this song. I want to play this song. I want to sing this song. You know what I mean? So there was a record like on Earth, Wind & Fire's Powerlight album that Annie Shilley used to make me sing all the time. This record called Straight From The Heart that was written by Philip and Eddie Del Barrio.
Yeah, I know that record.
And it was like the last song on Side A, and it was like, you know, such a random ass. It's like, almost like there's a record on Earth, Wind & Fire's 77 album called All In All called I Write A Song For You. Straight From The Heart is like part two of that song.
Hmm. Didn't know that.
Right. If you listen to both songs, it's like, this is a continuation of that song, right? And like music was such a major part of...
Obviously.
Like,
right now, you going there.
Like music was such a major part of like everything in my life, you know what I'm saying? And I remember, I always tell people, like the first birthday gift I ever got, when I turned 6 in 83, the first birthday I got was a Rick James album. It was Cold Blooded. My mom bought me Cold Blooded.
I still
have that album.
I knew I liked it from the Brunch. Now I love her even more.
No, literally, that was the first album I ever got in my life. James? She bought me for my 6 years old, bro.
Yeah, I know what my son.
6 years old.
Mom's was outside.
Mom's was outside. They was outside.
I bought this for us.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. I bought this for us. She bought me the Happy Rick birthday, James baby. Cold Blooded album. I'll never forget it. You know, I remember opening the album. I remember, you know, her writing my name on the album. Opening out, pulling the credits out, and it was black, and the Gordy label. I remember everything about it. You know what I'm saying? I remember dropping the needle on certain records, and, you know, like Ebony Eyes, and, you know, Mary Had a Pimp, and records like that. You know what I mean? I'm 6 years old, bro.
Mary Had a Pimp.
This is great.
Mary Had a P-I-M-P. Yeah.
Because she did.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but I remember being in Amber with the sound of Cold Blooded. Like, why do those drums sound like that?
Bloody.
Like, what is that? What is about that record that makes it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my mom was a huge Prince fan also. So she had every Prince album. And I remember, you know, like I said, 1999, I remember she bought 1999. I remember opening the album and the eye on the album. And I remember everything about the process of it. And I remember they went to the concert. It was a Triple Threat concert. I remember them like, we're going to Carmel. I'm just getting ready. I remember this shit vividly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is like, as a kid, like, why do I remember this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was something that was, this was something I was supposed to do.
When the music is in you, it's going to, like, when you have those moments where the music is tapping into some, I don't even know what to call it, but when the music is calling you in a certain way or trying to get your attention, there's always a moment in time that you can connect to that, no matter how small you are.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many of those moments. I have moments like a moment where I'm sitting there watching my uncle get dressed. He getting ready to go out on a date. And he's just, every time he goes from his room to the bathroom, he giving me some more game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to make sure you shave. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You got to shave for him. They like the
fajita. He really talking to himself.
I'm giving it to you. Yeah.
I'm a kid. Yeah. Like, and he's got magic shave. You know what I'm saying?
That's some 80s. That's some real.
Oh, no, that's not. That's the real.
You got to hurry up and get that off your face.
You got to hurry. Before your face burn off, right?
You can't be fucking around.
He doing that and then he got the smell good, and then you got to make sure you smell good. You know what I'm saying? That's you got to make sure you have.
Yeah.
But all I hear in the background is, let the sideshow begin.
Yeah.
Hurry, step right on in.
Yeah, he got that
I
shit.
I can see it. I can see me sitting at my grandmother's kitchen table and watching him walk back and forth.
And he's setting the tone. He's setting the mood for it. The night going to be for him. So he got the music going. Yeah. He's like, yeah, nigga, I'm about to get, you know what
he's
I mean?
Getting dressed to the music.
It's about to go down.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million-dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Yamaha used to make these keyboards that were like consumer keyboards called Portasound keyboards, right? Mm-hmm. And so okay, granted, equipment was super expensive.
For sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. Forever and ever and ever. Back in the day, you know what I mean? You know, you couldn't, a Sinclair was like $50,000. You know what I mean? Like, so what companies started doing, they started making consumer-based like instruments. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And versions
Yamaha,
of
yeah. The, yeah. And Yamaha was one of the first to make a consumer, you know, something you could buy several merchandise or, you know, random, you know, like at a department store, they were one of the first to do it. And PSR 500, I think my keyboard was like, it might have been $700, like $600, something like that. You know what
Which
I mean?
Which was a lot back then.
A lot of money.
Hell yeah, that's
then,
a lot
right?
of money.
For my mom to drop $600 or $700 on a keyboard, it's like, okay, nigga, you better.
You better show out.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So I couldn't have been no more than, at the time when I got the keyboard, I might have been 11.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right?
$700 keyboard for an 11-year-old?
And I remember just breaking down this keyboard, breaking it down, like reading the manual, breaking it down. And what happens is that they had four preset beats in the keyboard. So like basically showing you the sounds, it would give you like whatever. So in these four presets, I figured out a way where you can erase the presets and make your own sequences.
And you wasn't supposed to do that?
No.
Because this was just kind of like,
it was supposed to be.
It's a demo.
It was a demo. You get a keyboard and a demo. Yeah. It was a demo, but I was like, nah, let's figure out. And it was a way you could erase the demo. And you couldn't save it. Right? You couldn't save it.
But you were practicing.
But what I would do is I would just make tracks, because I had the shit hooked up to a little tape deck, make tracks, put that shit on the track, on the tape, make four tracks, erase, make four new tracks, erase, make the four, and if something.
Ingenuity.
If something stuck, right? Something that was like, oh, this is really good, right? Then I would say, okay, if I had to make it again, I would make it again. To see if I could do it again or do it better, right? And you don't even know that you're actually fine-tuning. I didn't even know I was fine-tuning.
Your hours as a producer.
I mean? Yeah. I'm just like, okay, can I make this track again? You know what I'm saying? And what happened was, in the short term, I would, you know, when you're young and you want, you know, at this point I might have been maybe 13 or 14 when this happened, 13. And we started want to sing in groups, you know, where I've been in church and all that, you know, everybody wants to start doing, your groups was popping, Shy was out, Boys to Men's out, everybody, you know what I mean? So everybody want to start having groups. So I was in a group, you know what I mean? And I was like the, you know, the music guy in the group, you know
it
what I mean?
It was Devontae.
I was, yeah, the Devontae or the Teddy or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in the midst of that, there was a, there was a friend of ours. So I was in a group with my best friends at the time, Scooby, Troy Clark, and his brother Trevor. And they knew this guy, right, who was in a group called Groove You. I don't know if you guys remember, you may remember this group. They were signed to Atlantic Records, group called Groove You. Troy Taylor wrote and produced their first single, a song called Old Becomes the New. They were from Houston, right? The guy in the group, his name was Teron Mitchell. And I went to school with his sister, right, Lori. And my friends, they knew him. They were in a group before that he was kind of like developing. So they told him about me, like, oh, it's this kid, this guy we're working with, you know, Brian or whatever. And Lori told him about me. Lori was in a group with my cousin Talia. So it was like interesting. Houston was an interesting space, at that time, because it was like all these groups popping up. Mm-hmm. You know, Girls Time was popping. This is pre-Destiny Child. Girls Time was popping. All these groups are popping up. You know what I mean?
Are y'all going to school together too?
We all know each other.
Okay.
In an interesting way, because there was this thing that kind of brought us together called the People's Workshop. So the People's Workshop was like where all these kids will come and compete and like, you know, between People's Workshop and AXO and things of that nature, kids started knowing each other through these competitions. That's actually how I met Robert Glasper. Through the People's Workshop. That's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. We're doing that too. Teron Mitchell, he hears some of the songs or some of the tracks that I was making. He was like, oh, you're making tracks. I'm going to come over to your house. Now, T had like an ASR-10, all kind of shit at his house. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Cooking. He was cooking with grease, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he hears my tracks. He's like, yo, man, what you working on? I was like, I got this little keyboard. You know, he's like, you making all that on that shit? You know, it's like, come to my house. You know, so I go to his house and he shows me his ASR-10 and shows me all. I'm like, oh, shit, that shit blew my mind.
SR-10 is the next level.
You know what I mean? I completely blew my mind, yeah. Right? And he kind of took us under his wing and was like, yo, boom. You know, they were signed to Atlantic at the time. So he would go to New York. They make their records. This, that, and the third. And he would come back and he would play us these records, you know? And like, and I don't think that he even knew, or maybe he knew that he was, what kind of energy he was putting into me personally. Because I would hear these records, I'm like, damn, my records don't sound like that. How can I make my records sound like that? You know what I mean? So he was working with people like Troy Taylor. They was working with Gordon, had done a bunch of stuff on them.
They had a real budget.
Yeah, they had a budget. Yeah. Craig was spending money on them. You know what I'm saying? They went in with like with Kenny Smooth and all these. You know, they were making some records. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then they made some records with a young Donnell Jones. This is before Donnell was. Shit. Donnell was just a producer at Untouchables. And he would come back, T would come back with these demos like, yo, Donnell wrote us another one. Play us some demos like, this shit is crazy. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And I'd be like, yo, I got to get my records to sound like this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In the midst of this, I meet who would end up becoming like my main mentor for many years, Greg Curtis. Greg Curtis.
I know Greg Curtis.
So in the midst of all this happening with me, T, and my group, and this, that, and the third, T was managed by this guy named Abby Lamar. And Abby Lamar was Akeem Olajuwon's cousin. He was the one that made the deal at Atlantic, but he was also managing Greg Curtis. So T takes me to Abby's office with my keyboard. My keyboard has speakers in it, so I just bring my keyboard to the fucking office.
Play your
and,
shit.
And T was like, yo, man, press play on Abby. So I press play on him. Abby's like, this African to look. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, that's coming out of the keyboard. Oh, I'm going to call Greg now. He calls Greg. He's like, Greg, you got to come up here, nigga. You got to come up here. This little nigga come. He got a little keyboard with speakers on his niggas playing. He's just going crazy, right? So then Greg pulls up. Greg actually comes to the... Now, for us, now you understand, for me, I was going to HSPVA at the time. I was in high school. I was going to HSPVA, which is the same school Greg graduated from years before. Secondly, for us, Greg Curtis was already a legend in the city.
Right.
From a gospel perspective, he wrote Just a Prayer Away for Yolanda Adams. Mm-hmm. He literally had been... You know, on tour with everybody from Keith Sweat to Blackstreet to Tony. Yeah. Like, he was like the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was just like, he's like, Greg is coming to the office. I'm like, bugging, like, oh shit, Greg is coming to the office. You know what I mean? Greg comes to the office and I press play on him. He's like, that's coming out of that? He's like, okay, get in the car with me right now. So I take my keyboard, get in the car with him, I go to his house. Craig has this like wow studio in his crib. And he's like, yo, I'm going to show you. I'm going to literally show you how to really do this. He literally showed me how to produce. Like from that day forward, I was at his house damn near every day. You know what I mean? Like literally.
What was his setup?
He had he was about the shit. Greg had, you know, back in those days, everybody was using drum machines like MPCs
and stuff. SP-12 and all. Yeah.
He was different. He had the fucking Mac. He had a Mac. This is in the mid '90s. He had a Mac with Performer. Not even Digital Performer. This was before it was regular Performer with the Motu, interface. The bridge. He had two D88s. He had like, you know, some outboard reverb delay gig, the delay stuff, you know, going on. But he had the 880, the 1080, the SE1. But what was ill was that he had the shit like, he had everything programmed in his computer. The patches were in his computer. So if I wanted to go to like a nylon guitar, I could just go to the computer and do it. And this is now the shit sounds regular. But in like 1994, that shit was like
not regular.
Some most incredible shit ever that not you could pull regular. Up a patch on, you know what I mean, on the computer and actually make an 8-bar sequence and do dub. Like it was ill, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And he basically at that point was like, "Yo, you with me?" You know, took him in his wing and taught me everything that I needed to know before I came to Atlanta, right?
Damn.
So check right in the midst of this, of all of this. My senior year of high school happens. 95, become a senior in high school. Who fucking walks in orientation? Fucking Beyonce and Latoya walk in orientation, right? Because they're freshmen at our high school, okay? So it's been talk about them. Like we knew who they were from People's Workshop, but now it's been talk about them because they got signed, or they was about to get signed to Columbia, and it was like mm-hmm. talk about them, right? But I hadn't seen them since it was like, 10 or 11 at this point.
When it was girls' time. 14, yeah.
Like 13, 14 at this point. I'm 17.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They walk. Beyonce is a grown-ass woman. Niggas at the school is going crazy. Niggas at the school going like, yo, I know you don't know them. I was like, I do know them.
Yo, right. That freshman are just, yo.
Niggas at the school are losing their mind.
You think I could do two more years here?
Niggas at school losing their mind, right? But I already knew them the whole nine, so we get to talking and you know, of course there's always a common thread. We came up together in that People's Workshop vibe. Mm. So she tells me like, yo, hey man, we going to Sacramento, we're working with Dwayne Wiggins.
Yeah. You
know? So basically that period when they were going doing those records with Dwayne, I was running my mom's phone bill up. Because basically I was calling them like, yo, play some over the phone. I was just trying to get any little bit of
information
I could get. And I mean, I knew them, Beyonce, Kelly, Latavia, Latoya, I knew them well. So they were, we have a call, like, hey, Brian, we're listening to this song. They played, Human Nature. They played, Second Nature. They played a regular record. They played songs. And I'm just like, oh man, I got to fucking figure this out. You know, it was like a thing, like it became a mad dash, almost like a race to figure it out.
Because you keep hearing these new levels of music.
Yeah.
And you're like.
But there are people that are connected to him,
that
too.
That I know directly.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Same friend group, same age group.
But I'm like, I gotta figure this out.
We've all been there where it's like you think you're doing something and then you hear the next level and you're like, you know what? They about to ask me to play these records. I'm gonna say I ain't got it yet. I ain't bring nothing. Man, I just came to hang out.
Yeah, CD been skipping. It's been skipping the whole time. I ain't even.
You know when you're not on the level.
Yeah.
Or you should.
You should know.
Because I've been in rooms where somebody didn't know and they still wanted to play it because they got excited.
Yeah.
And I always looked at them for those records.
Listen, I always.
That's very tough.
Jay, that's where I learned the biggest lesson. When I would hear these records, I'm like, I'm not ready yet. And I would say to myself, like, you're not ready, right? So what happened was I had a crazy breakthrough, right? One day, Beyonce calls me, or one of the girls, either Beyonce or Tori, one of them called me, like, hey, we told Matthew about the song. Because I would pester them, like, yo, hey, come in the room, practice room. I got a song, another song. I'm playing songs for them. Because I was one of the only people that really knew that the deal, that their deal was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like a rumor.
They still going to school.
Going to school. But I was like one of the only people that knew that the deal was actually finished, right? And they let me know that. So I would always hound them like, oh, I got another song, you know? And then one day I got a call. I was like, hey, we want to come do that song. Whatever song you're singing, we want to come do that song. And I was like, okay. So I'm calling Greg and calling T. I'm like, hey, they want to come do songs, you know, whatever. So they came and they did. We did two songs together. We did a song called Sweetie Pie and we did a song called Hey DJ, right? And I think Greg actually has the song still. I believe he still has them. Because if he does, I'm pretty sure he does. Because Greg is good with keeping shit. I'm pretty sure he does. So we made the songs. And I will never forget this because this was the day that I knew. I was like, okay, fuck being in a group. Fuck being, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what I want to do. This is what I want to do.
Writer and producer.
I remember it vividly. It was like, okay, you know, when you have a space where you're like, okay, I'm in a group and we're trying to figure it out, but I want to write for this person. But it was like, when I had this session, it was like, yeah, nah, this is it. This is it. Like, I don't want to be performing. I don't want to do nothing.
What was
shit.
It about the session? What is it? Was it the way that the music turned out? Was it?
It was the way it turned out, but it was also the way that they were like, as you threw something out at them, the way they was giving it back.
They're professionals.
I had never experienced that.
Mm.
It was Beyonce and Kelly in the studio, and I never experienced giving somebody something, like a line, or giving them something, and they give it back to me in a way. It was like, oh, that shit was perfect. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, I never produced, like, you know, you're producing, we in a group and you're producing yourselves and, you know, you don't really, you know, I thought I knew what I was doing, you know what I mean? But, we just trying shit, you know what I mean? To give instruction and to hear it back the way that it was coming back to me, you know what I mean? And I'm like, everything they was doing, I'm like, wait a second. And was ill, as I would tell people all the time, like, these girls were way advanced. Like, they were so advanced. It was just, I had never experienced anything like that. Like, I was like, okay, all right. First of all, these girls are going to be superstars. That was the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, I was like, this is exactly what I want to do. Because if I'm able to throw something out at somebody and then give it back to me the way that these people are giving it back to me, then I don't need to be singing. Because
I'm not doing
they
that.
Got it. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, it's not like Beyonce and Kelly got it. Like, I ain't got it.
But being able to identify that is a gift in itself.
Mm-hmm. So, fast forward, when I started coming to Atlanta, I remember coming to Atlanta.
What made you come to Atlanta?
Oh, man.
Was it college or just to come to Atlanta?
No, it was a girl.
Yeah. You
know, it was a lady.
Real R&B.
R&B.
You followed your heart, brother.
Follow my heart, bro.
Real R&B.
R&B nigga throwing through, baby.
Look at you now.
I mean, I'm sure you're not with her anymore, but you know.
Yeah, but she's still a great friend. We're still cool.
Yeah.
She's
hey,
still,
Leon.
She still gets.
Did she get royalties?
Nah. But no, she, I it's crazy. Recently, we had a reconnection recently. She came to the Usher show and we talked about this and I was like, I had to give her props. Like, hey, you know, like, I wouldn't have came down there if it weren't for you. I came because of you. Because I was going to New York.
Mm-hmm. But she lived in Atlanta? And you?
She was in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. I graduated high school and I stayed in Houston. For her.
Okay.
I stayed in Houston. I didn't go to the college. I went to fucking University of Houston. All that. To
stay with your woman.
To stay with my woman.
Yeah.
Because she was a year behind me. You know what I'm saying? She's about to graduate and she gets sent to all these schools and she's like, I'm going to Atlanta. And I'm like, well, we going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
What you mean? Yeah,
we you going?
Me. You mean we?
We got accepted in the club.
We going to Atlanta. So I did everything I could to get what I did. I got
now you HBCU.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Got up out of there. Went right to Clark, nigga. I was trying to go to new school. You know, Rob graduated. And he was going to the new school. He introduced me to the dean and everything, and I was talking to her, and I was going to try to go to the new school.
What is the new school? What is that?
It's the Manhattan, school in Manhattan. It's a jazz school in Manhattan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you gonna go? Oh, yeah, you about to fully be immersed in music?
Yeah, I was gonna go to the. I was trying to, and he had already, like I said, I already talked to the dean a few times. We were trying to figure it out, and when she told me she was going to Atlanta, I was like, "Well, I want to go to New York."
I'll see you, Robert.
I see. going to Atlanta, and ultimately, I remember rationalizing it because I was like, "Well, I mean, Atlanta's where at the time this is '97, so Atlanta's
cracking.
Music
is cracking.
So I'm like, it's really a
It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense for me to go there because I'll be able to really follow what I'm trying to follow. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the only way I'm get that support from my mom is if I go to school. So I was able to get a partial scholarship at Clark, and I was able to get grants and all kinds of different things, whatever. I had good grades, so it wasn't a problem. And I ended up going to Clark. And I came to Atlanta. And I remember the first thing that I did was I opened up the White Pages. This is some, you know, if you guys may not know this, you know, youngins, y'all don't know about the White Pages. Y'all could Google, you know, but back in the day, we didn't have Google. We had the White Pages, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And me being an avid credit reader, I knew all the studios in Atlanta. I knew Doppler, I knew Darp, I knew Lococo, I knew Purple Dragon. I knew all the names of the studios. So I just opened up and highlighted all the studios and would just call, try to get internships, you know what I'm saying? And this is why I was going to school and still doing what I was doing. But I was like, man, I got to get on. And I didn't realize how hard it was to get an internship. You know what I mean? It was like they had all these stipulations. I'm like, I'm trying to work for free. I got all these stipulations for me to work for free. You know what I'm saying?
To work for free.
Yeah. But it was a lot of stipulations to get internships. And I remember, I called every place I could call. And then I remember on campus one day, you know, on campus, they have like all of them.
With the AUC, right?
Yeah, AUC. So they have all of the like, street promo. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, it was like street promotions was big. Yeah, you know what I mean? All the posters up. It was like
Kenny Burns. Yeah, tell you,
2620, all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was street promotions was a big deal back then. And I remember seeing a flyer, man. It was a flyer that was like, you know, noontime, you know, music, Hitman, this, that, and the third, boom, boom. And it was like J Dub, Dent, Teddy Bishop.
On the flyer.
The flyer. K-Fam, boom, we named all the producers, and it was like, we're doing hits for, it was like Puff Daddy, Brandy, all these different people, and it was like, if you're looking for banging beats, call this number, and that was on a flyer, it was like on a random ass flyer, and I was like, what?
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall, then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm actually kind of good with my money early on. Okay. Early on, I was kind of like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I was like, well, I don't know what the fuck to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had a girlfriend. I was spending money on her, but I wasn't like, I didn't know what the fuck to do. I didn't really go crazy, man, until like later. Later, I went crazy.
Later, what's the wildest crazy thing you've purchased?
Oh, man, I bought a Bentley Cash. Oh, I bought a Flying Spur Cash. I just went right to the spot. Was like, yo, I called my I did a new publishing deal, and I was on the, you know, you wait on the phone. I went on the line for the clearance. Like, I signed a contract. Yeah. Me and my mom and Chris, we all worked it out. I signed the contract, and I was at the L'Hermitage. I'll never forget it. I was at the L'Hermitage Hotel, just kind of in the hotel waiting for the call.
It's not happening fast enough.
It's not happening fast enough. I signed a contract this morning. I faxed it over.
What's going on?
They got my banking information. Like,
what's
happening? They got the wiring. What's going on?
I know I can afford it.
I know.
I'm just sitting there waiting. And then my mom calls. She's like, you can go check the account. And I was like, I said, you checked it. She said, I checked it, but you need to go check it. Like, I'm not even going to tell you what's in there. You go check it. And I remember I called the bank. I was like, hey, they gave me the.
What I got?
They gave me the balance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nigga, I called Beverly Hills Bentley. I caught a phone with them, picked up the phone. I called Beverly Hills Bentley immediately. It wasn't even 2 seconds. It was like, could you understand? And I knew the deal was coming.
Hold on.
I knew the deal was coming, right? So we had kind of been prepping. Me, Chris, and Jaha kind of been prepping me for the money. Like, yo, Chris and Jaha, like, yo, Cox, all right, when the money hit, you got to chill out. You know, they were already kind of prepping me, and I was just like, okay, cool. You know, because I've been in L.A. for a few weeks working. I'm like, cool. All right. I'm like, the money ain't there. I'm not tripping. You know what I'm saying? So I remember Jaha took me a few days before, took me to, like, go test drive some cars. I just like, let me go test drive this Porsche. Let me go test drive this Aston Martin, this Vantage. Let me go test drive. I was test driving everything, right? I remember I test drove the Flying Spur, and I was like, yeah.
It's like me.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this motherfucker.
Yeah, you know,
like,
the
sure you want? It's like, man, you sure you don't want to just go get a 911, man, and just, you know. I was like, I might lean to the 911. I'm not telling him. I'm in my mind, I'm like, no, nigga. I'm about to drop 325 on this car.
325.
As soon as that motherfucker cleared, I called Beverly Hills Bentley immediately. Hey, y'all still got that car over there? I'm on the way right now. Went to the bank. Went right over there, nigga.
Did he try to stop you at the bank?
Nah.
He's like,
a little cashier's check? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, let me get a cashier's check.
Write that out.
Yeah, let me get a cashier's Bentley check. And I was like, to Bentley Motors, Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And I went right down there and gave them that shit. And they was like, which color do you want, Mr. Cox? Where'd you go? Mr. Cox. Oh, Mr. Cox, you want some champagne? You want some
Listen, if this was now, they'd be all on Instagram and everything. Yeah.
Oh, my God. The gram was out back then? Well, please. Nigga.
We so hold please.
On. It was like, oh, Mr. Cox.
Sit on the car.
Yeah.
Sit on the car, Mr. Cox. Put the bow on it and all this shit.
The bow on everything. Nah, it was just one of them. And I remember being like, you know, I never did anything like that. I remember I did that, and then I flew to Houston, and I bought my mom a house immediately. And I went. When you make so many songs, you understand? At that point, by the time I made that deal, I made so many songs, right?
Your pipeline was crazy.
My pipeline was crazy because I didn't take a whole lot of money every time. So, like, let's say that by the time You Got It Bad becomes a thing, right? Like, my deal, my publishing deal was like, we did like a small deal. Like we went to Warner and did like, they did the joint venture with Warner and I did a deal, you know, it was a small deal. So by the time I signed that deal, I recouped. So because you Got a Bad was huge. So these records were coming out. They were huge records. So by the time I was signing these deals, I would get $500,000 here, $400,000 there, but I would sign off. As soon as I signed the deal,
you'd already made it back.
I'd be recouped. You know what I'm saying? So I was making money, but I had never did like a deal that was like, oh, here is.
Yeah.
Millions. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I was doing 500 recoup and I would make my money. And I was doing well. I was doing great. You know what I mean? But it wasn't like I got a whole lump sum.
This was your I've arrived check.
That was like, yo, here you go, buddy.
So you went into that.
He said it. He said it.
So we going there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Confessions.
So Confessions, right? You Got a Bad is 87-01.
Right. Oh shit. Yes. Now I'm jumping. Yes, it is.
You Got a Bad is 87-01. And you got
I'm thinking of Burn.
Yeah.
Burn. You said You Got a Bad, I immediately thought Burn. But yes, okay. So
87-01 is You Got a Bad 87-01. And what's ill is that I tell people this all the time. Out of all the artists I wanted to work with, like Usher was the only artist I was like, yo, I have to work with him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You needed Usher replacements. Like
everybody else, it was cool. Mm-hmm. It was great. You know what I mean? And I mean, working with all the people I, you know, enjoyed, you know, growing up listening to. I got a chance to work with Aaliyah, Tony Braxton. Like, you know, I knew people who, phenomenal people, mm-hmm. right? And it was just like, damn, I felt like, okay, I'm in the business. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm working with all these people. They're great. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I'm pushing
and
forward.
And you and Jermaine are locked in at this point.
Yeah, so I'm locked in with Jermaine, but I'm also locked in with Noontime Heavy. So the Tony Braxton, Aaliyah, all that stuff is Noontime.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm locked in with Jermaine Heavy.
Oh, you're doing double duty.
Yeah, I'm locked in heavy with Jermaine on Jagged Edge. You know, everything's so deaf. I'm locked in with him. We're doing Shantae Moore. We're doing, you know, Mariah. We're doing all these different things. And the only artist that was like, yo, man, I really want to write. That's the call I want. Like, because he would call me for all these different artists. I'm like, okay, cool, I'm coming down. Diana called me, like, yo, can you come and do so-and-so? I'm coming down. Studio, and I was like, man, I hope this nigga call me for Usher, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was just like, you know, and he called me. He was like, yo, man, come down. We starting Usher today. I was like, shit. And literally, it was the first day that he opened that studio. So it was the first day.
The big studio.
Southside. I went to Southside when they were building it. Mm-hmm. And then we were still working at the house. And then one day he called me and was like, hey, man, can you come down to the new studio? It's finished. We're going to start today. And I was like, we're working on it. He was like, working on Usher. I was like, shit. First day, new studio, first song, You Got It Bad. No bullshit.
Hang up. No bullshit. Right back.
New studio, first day, first song. No bullshit.
What's first? The keys or the drums?
Keys. So there's an incredible story about this, right? It's an incredible story. We're talking, and he's like, Jermaine is very specific and strategic about how he approaches things. He's like, yo, man, like we need to do a song. It's kind of like, what could Nice and Slow be bigger and more pop? Like he was just like, how can we, because Nice and Slow was so niggerish and dope, but it was very, very black. You know what I mean? Even though it ended up being a pop record, but his approach was very much so a black record. He was like, man, from a progressive perspective, how can we make it be still black, you know what I mean, and churchy, but, you know, how can we take it up a notch? And we were just kind of going back and forth, and I started playing some things. He's like, okay, you're going that direction, whatever. So he's like, yeah, man, Jermaine goes, and once he has an idea in his head, he'll go and he'll play video games or whatever's going on that. So what's crazy is we were having a conversation before that, me and Usher were having a conversation before that, and Usher's going through this thing with this girl, you know. I don't know if I should call this girl's name out, but he's going through this thing with this girl at the time. She's a disaster. This girl is a disaster, and you definitely know who this woman is.
I don't know.
She's a disaster. She's a disaster, and we have to ban her from the studio.
Shit.
It's like she's just out of control. You know what I mean? And Jermaine, we talking about it, and Jermaine's like, man, you know, man, nigga, this, yeah, she got you, man. She got you, dog, man. You got a bad, bro. You got a bad. He just says, he keeps saying it. Man, you got a bad, dog. Like, that girl ain't no good. You got it bad. And he just keep saying it over and over again. And then literally that's how Jermaine, and then whatever happened, with him, whatever that phrase was in his head, he was like, I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stick to this phrase because we have to write a song about this. And when I came up with the progression, he was like, so I came up with the progression. Now, mind you, I'm coming from the school level. Now, in my noontime, the way my productions are at noontime are very elaborate. A lot of transitions strings and bridges and all kinds of shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm approaching this ballad that way initially. So I got all kinds of strings and lead lines and all kind of shit going on. And I got a bridge part, change part, wind, all kind of shit going on in the
wind.
Song. No, bro, I got all that, right? All of it, right? I got all the shit, right? So then I tell Jermaine, yo, I'm ready, man. Come listen to what I got so far. So he comes in, he press play on a drum machine. He just listens to all this shit, you know? And he's listening. He's like, all right. And he goes to the next sequence. He's like, I'm not going to use that bridge. Goes back. And he's like, all right. And he goes to the board and he just starts muting shit. I'm telling you, this is the greatest lesson I've learned in songwriting and producing ever. I always tell people, he starts muting shit, right? Mutes everything. And I'm like, the fuck is he doing? Like, he mean all the good shit in my mind. You know what I mean?
I was flexing.
I'm in there getting my shit off.
He muting
everything, right? The only thing we have left is the nylon and the wind. He liked the wind. I'm going to keep the wind in there. But everything else, right? And he's like, okay, we're going to start here. And I'm like, okay. Goes on, he goes, starts loading up sounds. This is when Jermaine was using a floppy, so he had an MPC 6.
He notorious for that, yeah.
He starts loading up sounds or whatever. He loads up a kick, a snare, a hi-hat. And he makes a drum track with that, right?
And that's it.
And I add a bass line. So you got a bad is kick, snare, hi-hat, nylon guitar, bass line.
Don't forget the wind.
And the wind.
The wind.
Don't forget the wind.
6 instruments. We write the song, okay? There's no harmonies and you got it bad.
None.
Mm-mm.
It's only
top
lead line. Top line. The only time we hear harmonies in the second verse when he does, I truly adore you. That's the only part where it is.
Adore you.
That's the only part where you hear harmonies. There's no harmonies. Yeah. It's literally just vocal.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, when we finish the song, I'm like, like, it was only, like, when we finished the song, you understand, like, and Jermaine wasn't demoing songs at this point. He had stopped demoing songs. We were writing the songs. I demoed the song, and then Usher came and sang it. And after Usher sang the song, it was kind of like, nigga, like, did we just write the best song of life? It was like, you know what I mean? It was like one of those, like,
yeah, I had that moment.
Like, it was like a moment where then L.A. comes, listen to the songs before the guitar solo. We didn't have a guitar solo on the record initially. L.A. comes, and you listen to the song. L.A.'s like, yo, this song's a smash, right? And Jermaine's like, I got a vision for it. I'm going to put a guitar solo on. We're going to get Billy Odom. So Billy Odom puts guitar solo on it, kills it. We mix it, right? Send the song in to LaFace and Arista. Clive doesn't like the guitar solo. He wants to take the guitar solo out. And Jermaine has to fight for the guitar solo, which obviously is the moment. The guitar solo
is the moment.
You know, it's,
yeah, but Clive just didn't hear it. Yeah.
He didn't hear it at the time. Mm-hmm. Clive fought a song you should have known better, too. We had a guitar solo you should have known better. He just didn't fuck with us on the guitar solos on the R&B shit. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But I just remember being like, oh, man, simplicity. Like, I don't have to do all of that shit to get my point across.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Because the average person can't do any of that. Don't even truly understand all of it.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like, damn, I ain't got to do all that to get my shit across. Like, he was like, yo, man, take all that shit out of there, man.
You
got to
leave room.
Leave room.
Yeah.
And y'all literally, that's when he was like, okay, I can write now. You know, he was like, oh, this
too much. Oh, no, now, we've all had beats in front of us where we're just like, you can listen to it 100,000 times. Mm-hmm. Just like, I can't figure nothing can't out of this shit because.
Yeah.
It's just too much going on.
Yeah.
It's too busy for me.
Yeah.
So you need someone like Jermaine to say, hey, man.
He's like, nah, nigga.
You're doing too much.
Mute those.
That was like, damn. And literally, that's talented. Another technique that I took with me. I took from that moment, it's like, okay, I'm taking this with me. But it's time for me to do, whatever. I'm taking this with me.
Whose idea was it to go Bone Thugs and Harmony?
Can I keep it real?
You change the ways like hanging with Bone.
We are huge fans of Bone Thugs and Harmony. I'm gonna keep it real. You understand? We're coming off of Mariah. We did a song with Mariah, right? This is before the big ones.
Right.
Like before, like mm-hmm. Shake It Off and all that. We had done Charm Bracelet. We had done a record before, a song on Rainbow. Mm-hmm. And Mariah is a full on, like she's a Bone Thugs and Harmony fanatic. Like that's how she's full on, like no doubt, right? So for us, it's just an extension of that relationship.
Yeah,
I
was just saying, you were, you know what I mean? It was in you.
That relationship, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we, Bone Thugs by far is one of my favorite rap groups and one of my favorite
moments.
You know what I mean? And melodically, I just always felt like, and Jermaine too, like we just always felt like nobody ever explored it properly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so it's like, who can explore it and make it global?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. It's like, you know.
That's dope.
And I think also it's an extension of, you know, think about Jermaine with Poe Pimp, you know, USHERRA. Like, I think that's just an extension of
the next evolution to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The progression.
You know, it's the same kind of concept. You know what I'm saying?
So let's get to confessions.
Confessions.
Because we got there. We got, man, great story. Confessions.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to do life-changing shit.
Oh, yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
It's time to do game-changing shit.
Yeah.
Like this.
And the pressure's on.
Yes.
We didn't feel it, though.
No.
Within the industry, though.
Yeah. Within
the industry, like, everybody felt the pressure of
what's
going on with Usher.
Yeah, what's doing next?
Because of the sputter in between.
Yeah, and I remember too, I was working with like a couple of artists, like, you know, like younger artists in between. And a couple of A&Rs would say things that I thought were like extremely disrespectful. Like I had an A&R tell me something. They brought me this artist and they were describing him to me like, yeah, you know, he's not much of a vocalist, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he, you know, it was like Usher, man, you know, like he ain't really much of a vocalist, you know?
What?
And I remember being like, wait, what did you just
that's
say?
That's a wild comment.
Like,
that's a wild
I was like,
what
what did you just say? Because I'm like, you know that I work with him. You know that I, you know, I do his vocals. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, you know, Usher, he got me, Usher can sing, but he can't sing. I'm like,
What?
Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, hold on, man. Hold on.
What?
So I was like, bro.
Hey, listen. Like, said swivel chair.
Man, swivel chair.
Yeah, I'm like,
if you're watching this, you a goddamn fool.
That's your motherfucking mind.
I just remember.
I don't care who you are. You can be the biggest executive, too. Saying Usher is not much of a vocalist, you're a goddamn fool.
I remember that vividly. So I remember going into Making Confessions. Like I said, we didn't feel the pressure because we knew we just went into it the way we would do any other thing.
You're like, just on automatic. You're so like, let's just do dope shit.
Yeah. Like Burn was the first song we did for Confessions. Like
it was the first song.
The first song we wrote.
Yeah.
Burn was the first
Shakira
song.
Shakira Stewart played it for me.
Yeah.
At Hitco.
Yeah. That was the first song we wrote.
And I thought it was y'all first single.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is out of here. This nigga's back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all the way back.
Yeah.
It was the first time we wrote. So it's like, Let It Burn is another thing, which a man is like, he's a person that will have like multiple conversations with people. Let's say he'll have a conversation with me, with you, and with you, and not let us know that he had conversations mm-hmm. with us, right? So we think that what we're talking about is the first time we're talking about it, and that we're coming up with it right here. But really, he's already had a conversation with you, and you said the same thing to him. And he's just saying to you, well, man, shit, let it burn, right? But literally, he had the same exact conversation with Usher.
So the nigga's laying out on DiCaprio in Inception.
Like, so everybody has different perspectives on how burn came about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody really Jermaine.
It's right? really Jermaine.
Being
really
a mad scientist.
Everybody's, so my perspective is I was going through something. I never played video games. I was in the room playing video games. It's like, man, you in there playing video games? What the fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? And I'm telling them what's going on. My lady is just bullshit going on. Yada, yada. And he's just like, man, shit, Cox, man, you let that shit burn, man. Right? And he says it. Right? And I'm like, nigga, that's a song. He was like, nigga, go write it. And I was like, what? You know what I'm saying? He was like, nigga, go write it. You think it's a song, go write it.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. So I go and I start making the progression to what ends up becoming Burn. And I say, y'all, I think I got the progression. So he comes in and I play the progression. He's like, yeah. And then I literally was like, it's going to burn for me to say this. Come from, I start just start spewing the lyric to him. He's like, that's it. And then he just, I said, I made the first four lines. Then he picks up the next like four or five lines. And then it's like, this is the first time me and him are writing a song this way.
Yeah.
Because normally it's like, I make the progression. I may give him a melody. He may, you know what I mean? I may chime in, but he usually does the heavy, lifting up the lyric. You know what I mean? With this particular time, me and him are just going like back and forth. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, trying to do my best baby face shit with the, you know, with the falsetto, with tell me why I'm staying in this place. And it's like, when I'm hurt, going back and forth. Like, I'm like, this shit is like, somebody need to be filming this
right,
shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like in real life. So we finish the song and we're like, oh, this is the first song for the album that we're making we don't know Confessions is coming at this point. We're just writing. We're months away from writing Confessions at this point.
Mm.
This is the first song. So we start writing other songs, trying to just get to the next song. And we go to L.A. And I'm not even, Burn is finished. Demo's finished, boom. We go to L.A., we work at Bay Faith, we got Brand This Way. And we kind of got writer's block. Like, but we can't, you know, it's not really coming, right? I gotta go to the dentist, I'm gonna go to the dentist, you know, whatever. Jermaine's like, yeah, shit, I'm going to go ride around, whatever. So Jermaine's riding around L.A., and he fucking sees the big-ass Beverly Center sign. You know what I'm saying? And for mm-hmm. him, you know, that was the first thing that came to his mind, like, oh, shit, you know, I'm in the Beverly Center, like, man, not giving a damn. Like, that's what, you know what I mean? These things start coming to him. You know what I'm saying? And I come back, I got my teeth pulled, I'm full of Vicodin, and I come back, you know what I mean? And he's like, we start coming up with this idea. Ironically, what was the predecessor of this idea was Ignition. Ignition is kind of why Confessions even exist in real life.
How so?
Okay, so we do Confessions 1, which is originally called All Bad, right? All Bad, we do the song, boom, whatever. This is before Ignition, right? Some time goes by, they're sleeping on the song. They're sleeping on All Bad. The label ain't really fucking with it. You know what I mean? Ignition comes out, right? The first version of Ignition comes out.
Yeah,
it didn't really blow up. You know, it was kind of like some random shit. Niggas got the single in the mail. Like, we got, you know what I mean? It was really super random, but we thought this shit was incredible.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? But at the end of the song, the end of the original version, he gives you the previews of the remix.
Yeah.
Right? He gives you, yo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, right, like, yo, so we kept like, yo, this, I can't wait to hear what this nigga do with this song. And the next thing you know, he comes out with
Bounce, part bounce, two, right? Bounce,
and we're
bounce,
like, bounce, oh, bounce. This nigga here, bro. Right? So cool. Ignition comes out. It's going crazy. And then Jermaine comes to me like, yo, I know how we can save this song. We can save All Bad. I was like, well, we got to do part two. We got to do a part two to the song. We got to make it. So take some elements of whatever the first part of the song is and let's just make it. Let's make part two.
Yeah.
Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Okay, cool. I said, well, what's part two about? You know what I'm saying? He was like, nigga, I got it. The nigga gets the bitch pregnant and this, that, and the third. He's going on and on and on. He's going on and on. And he's going about something like, oh, no, nigga, this is personal. Oh, this is personal. I was like, you
can't fool me.
You too excited about this story, dog.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. Where America goes to hire.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Made a lot of records.
Broke a lot of records.
Broke a lot of records.
Make and break.
You've done some people's favorite records. But now we want to know your.
Okay.
Top five.
Sing it, y'all.
Your top five.
Come on.
Right. Top five.
Hey, now.
Your top five.
Okay.
R&B singer. R&B song.
I like this.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got to know. You got to show. T-Cox is here and he's gonna tell us his top five. Yeah.
Bring it on home.
Right.
Yeah.
Top five.
Ooh.
Your
top five.
Five.
Yeah. Yeah. Top five R&B singers.
Yeah, we're going to start there.
Shit, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Let's cook.
Of all time.
Yours.
Oh, your mind of all time.
Yours.
Your personal list.
Luther Vandross.
Yeah. Why not?
Stevie. Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, you got to say Whitney Houston. You can't go.
You have to.
You can't go.
You have to. I'm so surprised when she's not mentioned.
Yeah, you can't not say Whitney Houston, bro. It's hard for me because then it's like I want to go Chaka Khan, but then I want to go.
Just say it.
You can't not say R. Kelly.
You can't not say R. Kelly.
I mean, I'm just.
You
know. I know the comments gonna go crazy.
Man, they'll be saying whatever they want.
They'll be okay.
We talking about the music.
Kelly, they'll be okay.
Vocally, like
in the artistry, like the songs that go with it.
The reason why we're here.
Yeah, you just cannot do that. You know what I'm saying? You can get into D'Angelo vibe. You can get into, you can go back and get like into like a Marvin Gaye vibe. Mm-hmm, Marvin Gaye, who looks like. You can get, you know, let me tell you who's a fucking monster. We don't talk about enough, I guess, because he's way old school, but you put these clips, motherfucking David Ruffin.
You better believe it. Who you talking to?
What?
Who you talking to?
Come on, man. There is no Eddie Kane.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Real life Eddie Kane.
For real, David Ruffin was a fucking
top 175.
There's so many, man. I mean, you know, Fantasia is one of my favorites. Jasmine Sullivan is one of my favorites.
All right, nigga, that's it.
I'm sorry, man. I got so many, man.
You better make sure you bring it home or you're going to get in trouble.
Usher. Yeah, of course. I'm not even talking about. But Usher's like, and it's just, I always tell people, like, because I spent so many years defending, you know, like my love for his vocal. And I'm
which is crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, to A&Rs, that's what's ill to me. The people who work in the music business. And I'm like, yo, like, what makes Usher so special is that the nigga's tone is such a one of a kind. Like, it is the most familiar, most recognizable tone, I think, in R&B. Like, outside of, like, you know, a Keith Sweat who has, like, a proper, you know, he's not
It's readily
Usher,
identifiable.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I know but exactly Usher what you're saying.
It's about to get more difficult for him now, though.
Oh, yeah.
So the artist thing was one thing.
The top five. Songs.
Songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to be able to do five?
I'm going to try. Checking. I'm going to try to narrow down to five. Songs of all time? Shit.
Yours. You're like
my songs.
What you riding around to?
Yeah, what's some
like on, what do you find yourself? What's the freeway out here? The 85?
Is that 85, 85, 85, 75, 85. Yeah. Maybe you get on the 20. Head
what
on
do I
down
find
to Augusta.
Myself, Augusta.
Hey, Augusta.
What I find myself listening to. Lately I've been listening to a lot of Donnie Hathaway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I've been like on like Love, Love, Love Heavy. Like that song is so special to me. It's something very beautiful and lush about that song and the production of it and his meaningfulness and how he delivers the record and like he's, you know what I mean? It feels like he means that shit. Yeah. Late in my life, Michael Jackson is like.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
What can you say about that song? It's not.
Perfection.
You know what I'm saying? It's like literally one of the best songs ever created, right? I love Lady by D'Angelo.
Hmm.
I mean, oh, you know, a record I love a lot that I co-wrote that I love, You Got It Bad.
Okay.
You Got It Bad. It's just like.
Okay.
To me, I feel like that song is like one of them songs. It's kind of like, that's why I always reference that song because it's like I learned so much in that session. The first thing I learned, but the second thing is just like, it's so simple, but it's so he sang it so beautifully, and it was like
he smashed
heartfelt,
that
and it's like magic. He literally,
it's all of those those simple elements coming together.
Yeah, that song is magic.
I mean, it's like from the beginning, from the very top when he hits the. Like from the top, it's just like, the fuck is this coming on right
now?
It's
the wind.
Yeah, the wind. It's the wind. It's the wind. There's so many, man, but I would be remiss not to mention Marius B. Without You.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
You have to.
I mean, she don't even sing that song no more. People, it's still the biggest record. What? Yeah, Mary don't sing that song no more. I haven't seen Mary sing that song in forever, man.
On the road, she don't sing that song?
She stopped singing that song a long time ago.
Why?
I don't know. Did I ask her? She never really seen a song like that. Like, I'm willing to bet she didn't sing that song in like a minimum 5-6 years, probably longer.
We need Mary on the pod talk about this.
Yeah, she hadn't sang that song in a long time.
We're not gonna let you out here without this stuff.
Ready now?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready, baby.
I
ain't saying no name.
Hey,
I ain't saying no name. I ain't saying no names. I ain't saying no name. Who you was? Who you lived? What you did? Don't say shit. I ain't saying no name.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
So, Brian Michael Cox.
Yeah.
Talk to him.
You've been in this game for a long time.
Long time.
Your mama bought you Rick James.
Rick James, man. His first album. Cold Blood. 83.
Blooded.
Who do you?
You.
At six years old. So you were destined for all of this.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But as you were destined for all this, you had to go through all this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with you being here now, we want you to tell us a story, funny or fucked up, or funny and fucked up, the travels of Brian Michael Cox. I ain't saying no names.
Mm.
The only rule to the game is you can't say nobody's name.
Okay. So there was this artist.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a couple encounters with this one artist. And this actually was the artist that was saying that they was like, Usher, he's like Usher. He can't really do like with the same. That was the preface of the,
yeah.
the prefix of the meeting, right? So I meet the guy, right? Comes to the studio. I was working at Larrabee. Comes to the studio. Comes in with a bunch of fake jewelry on. Like I've never seen anything like this really. It was super cartoon characters. I'd never seen nothing like this like in person. Mm-hmm. He pulls up, he got the whole kick caboodle on. Like this is back when he was wearing the really baggy jean outfits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So comes in, he's like, really cocky. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, man, let me hear something. They play me some of the music. It's cool, it's not nothing crazy, but it's not terrible. I'm like, okay, well, cool, all right,
yeah,
we can do something, we'll figure it out. So he's like, yeah, man, I'm trying to take this shit to the next level, man. I'm so and so and so, I'm gonna be bigger than everybody. And I'm like, okay, cool, I've heard this before, but all right, cool, it's good to have belief in yourself, So then there was this girl that I was dealing with at the time who comes in. She came to visit me, she comes in. And he sees her, and he's like, I guess that they had like some type of interaction before, like he was trying to talk to her, and it didn't really pan out or whatever.
Yeah.
So she comes in, and he's like, what's she doing here? And she's like, "What? I'm here to see him, right? Pointing at me. He's like, oh, you're here to see B? Okay, I get it. You're here to see B Cox? Okay, all right. He'd be, all right, that's cool, right? Whatever. So I can sit next to him. He don't like it at all. He's not fucking with it, right? So I'm like, no, it's all good, man. Everything's cool, man. It's just my homegirl, whatever. We're trying to play it cool. So as the session goes on, this guy's not really, he's not good at all. I thought he was at least decent, but then we right come with the song.
He's not good at all. Right?
So we get through the song. She's still there. So I dip, go to the bathroom, and walk in on him talking to her. Right. And he's like, yeah, I got money now. You know what I'm saying? Like, why don't you let me just, take you out, take you out of town, whatever. I got money now. I got a deal. You know what I'm saying? He's all in there. I'm like, yo, what's up, man? He's like, oh, no. I'm just, I caught him in the middle. I'm like, yo, what are you doing, bro? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all good, whatever. If she go, then it's whatever.
We ain't handcuffed.
Cool. Fast forward. I get a call from the A&R. He's like, yo, man, we want you and him to, you and Jermaine. I'm like, all right. So I tell Jermaine, I say, yo, they want us to work with this kid. I tell him the name. He's like, all right, bring the kid down. Bring him to Atlanta. Now we're in Atlanta and we write another song. This kid is not good. So I know this already. I know this going into it. I'm like, yo, this kid is not good, but this is our man, the A&R guy is our man. Let's make it happen. Start recording with this kid, right? And mind you, I sing enough to get my ideas out, right?
Right.
Whatever. I can karaoke, I can sing a little bit, but I'm not like, I'm not an artist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was like, for me, I'm getting frustrated because I'm like, yo, like, bro, like, I should not be able to sing this better than you. You getting paid to sing.
Right.
You told me you was the best motherfucker, and you ain't shown me nothing yet. Yeah. You know me, Tank. I'm usually not like this. I'm usually super.
This is different.
But there's also a woman involved.
Yeah.
No. No.
You tried me, little nigga.
No, so what happened was, we're going through, the session's going terrible. So I tell the runner, yo, go get me like a bottle of Hennessy. I was drinking Hennessy at the time. We made a bottle of Hennessy. I got to get through this, right? So Jermaine knows, and once I start like
getting the
going up, he's like, all right, man, you know what, dog? I'm gonna get up on it, man. Y'all finish up.
Jermaine's gonna dip.
So
good luck.
So I'm drinking. I'm taking shots again. He's fucking up. I'm like, yo, man, again. So the drunker I get, the more belligerent I'm getting, right?
So, oh shit.
So now, for whatever that we in, it's like maybe another 2 hours. All right. So I'm done. Got halfway down the bottle. 75% down the bottle. Next thing I did, when Jermaine comes in, I'm like screaming at the top of my lungs, like, yo, that's not the fucking note. You can't fucking sing. I'm going crazy on this kid. I'm going so crazy
that's
on this
not
kid.
Even your personality.
And I know that this kid wants to fight me. I'm going crazy on this kid. Like, yo, you know what? Why are we wasting our time, man? You're wasting our time. You're wasting your budget. You're not going to ever get this shit right. You didn't get the last song right. I'm going crazy on this kid. Like, going crazy. And like, okay, that's enough. Brian's out.
Jermaine's going to take over.
Yeah, Jermaine tagged you out.
He's like, yeah, that's enough. Come on out here, man. It's enough. You're beating the kid up. It's too much. And I was like, you know what? I'm not drinking in sessions no more. I stopped. Like, that's what made me stop, like, getting drunk in sessions. Because I was like, because before I could drink a little bit, if we working and we vibing, we have little drinks, cool. We can get past it. If I'm drinking and it's bad, it's gonna go all bad.
So do you have a nickname for this guy?
Hey, man, get out of there, man. Get out of there.
No, I'm saying for who he became off the Hennessy.
Oh, the Hennessy.
Oh, the nickname. Oh, you know what?
Hennessy B?
It should be that. But I don't drink Hennessy anymore. See, that was another thing. I stopped drinking Hennessy shortly thereafter because I had another situation that was kind of really fucked up off the Hennessy. So I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna do this no more.
It's aggressive.
So Hennessy really makes you want to fight somebody, and I'm not really naturally that kind of a person.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah.
You wanted to fight the kid?
I was going crazy on the kid. I was like, there's a few things I don't like. For me, if I'm coming into a situation and I'm like, man, let the room dictate what we're going to do. We're going to come in with good energy and we're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a person like, you know, Quincy Jones say, lead the door open and let God come in and whatever happens, happens. I'm that person. We come in, got ideas, let's get the vibe. Because the vibe's got to be, we got to be bouncing. You know, if you come into a room, I know that we're going to get a lot of shit done.
Yeah.
Because it's just our energy.
Yeah.
Like, if a person coming in there like, nigga, you ain't done nothing yet. I'm not even, you know what I mean? It'd be different if you were like a star. Then I would, or had done some things, I would be like, okay, I gotta respect that you may be a little eclectic and you gotta get your shit off.
But it's
you know
working,
I mean?
Right.
But bro, you ain't done nothing. Like, I mean, zero. You coming in telling me, you need us right now, family. You need everything we got to give you. And you can't even deliver. So it'd be different if you was delivering and I was just badgering you. Like, bro, you listening back to this shit? I would be like, you listen back to that? It don't sound the way I sang it.
Oh shit! Oh yeah, you was whooping.
Oh, I was beating him.
He was whooping him.
I was beating him down.
That is a different. I was beating him down. Cox. We gotta give him a name.
Yeah, I tucked him away because I don't drink Hennessy no more.
I tucked him away.
So my question is, did he ever get a hit?
He did.
Yeah.
He actually got a record. I'm gonna give you guys a hint.
I already know who it is.
You know who it is?
I know who it is. I know who it is.
He got one record.
I know exactly who it is. One record off. And I know the people are going to be like, Jay, tell me. I know who this artist is because I'm pretty sure I came across them.
He got one record off.
We'll get into it.
We never ask, guys. We don't know. Don't DM me. I don't know.
He got one record off. One record. Never to be heard from again, but he got one record.
Yep.
Well, brother Elder Hennessy.
Elder
Hennessy.
Bishop Cognac. Elder Hennessy.
That's it. That's the name.
We're going to start our church.
Yeah.
We're going to start our church. Elder Hennessy and Bishop
Cognac. Yeah, that's it.
And I'm going to start the building fund.
Oh, yeah. We got to get the building
Jay's
fund,
Jay's in
baby.
Charge of all the money.
Get the building fund.
Get to collect the money, Jay.
Yeah, man.
Brother, man, we love you, brother.
Love you, bro.
We
love
you, brother. I appreciate y'all. You know, we could go for another couple of hours, man. We could all day. Up in here.
Literally all day. We could do this all day, man.
I'm so glad I got a chance to do this with y'all, man. We've been trying to do this for a minute.
Yeah. But we just want to make sure that people, you know, we just want to.
Make sure they celebrate
you. Make sure they celebrate you, man.
Appreciate you, brother. You should be celebrated.
Appreciate y'all, brothers, man. For real.
Not later.
Yeah.
Now.
Right now.
I appreciate y'all, man. For real. Yeah. This is amazing.
My name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, The Authority. The authority.
Yeah.
On all things R&B.
Huh.
And in the building, we have the authority. On all things R&B, one of the greatest of all time. Give it for Brian Michael Cox.
Thank you.
Go ahead, let that burn.
Let that burn.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media. At Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/RMB Money.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.